Hey everybody, and welcome to your June 21st Jumpcast, the only manga podcast not to take advantage of the longest day of the year by having the longest podcast. I'm your host, Imran Khan, and with me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
Gentlemen?
Is that today or was it yesterday that was the longest day of the year?
It's going to be yesterday when this podcast goes up.
Oh. Well, that's still today.
Not our time zone, so it'll still be today then.
Yeah. So, you wanted to throw a thing at the beginning about the new manga.
Yes. So one of the series that we've mentioned in the past, that being Neurandon and something or other, Nomego.
The one that we joked would get canceled as soon as we started talking about it.
Yes, and it got canceled. Its final chapter was this week, although apparently they're going to be doing a double-sized actual final chapter in the monthly Jump magazine. And there's going to be some other that there's rumors that there's other projects coming out with this thing, because part of the reason it stuck around for so long, despite having such low rankings, was because its volume sales are exceedingly high, like in excess of 300,000. But anyway, with that one leaving, starting next week, we're going to be seeing a new series called Assassination Classroom, which from the single image we've seen looks mildly surreal.
Yeah,
So we're kind of looking forward to that one. And then there will be another series starting the week after that called Takamagahara, which will probably also be replacing another series which might be ending next week. Current speculation is I think it's Magico or something like that.
On Nikasoi. No, that
ranked,
one looks like
it
a,
was ranked four this week. Sorry, man.
Just because of boobs. Takamagahara looks like a pretty standard fighting manga from the teaser image.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that one is by somebody who was like, if you've read Bakemon, it was one of the people who came in first place in one of those competitions or something like that. So it'd be his first series, if I'm not mistaken. The person doing Assassination Classroom had something which ran for about 2 years back in the late noughts. I know nothing about it. But yeah, so something to look forward to for next week.
Oh, this dude was in Jump Super, the DS game. I just looked up the old series that guy did, the Majin Tante Nogami Neuro.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, but you'd recognize the dude from Jump Ultimate Stars. So it must have been a pretty popular manga.
I'm aware of the game, but I have never heard of the series. So
kind of recognize him. That's strange character design.
Yes.
He looks like a bird.
So
not
I guess
not quite as strange as the image that is in the
man with the smiley face.
Yes, it's a person that's basically in a graduate uniform with a giant bulbous head which has a smiley face painted on it.
I could go for a weird manga.
Yeah, everything we read now is kind of, I mean,
straight and narrow.
Yeah, it's action. I don't think we have non-action stuff on the plate anymore.
Look at Barrage. That is the, like, plain white toast of manga.
Yeah. It's sad when our most exotic thing is One Piece.
Well, to be fair, One Piece can get pretty damn out there at times.
It can, but I mean, it's a known quantity.
Yeah.
We could add a romance manga if you want to.
No. Alright, so let's just go ahead and move on. And so Bleach basically said what we were all thinking in that everyone is stupid.
That doesn't make it any better, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of shitty when you have to call out your own writing as bad.
So, like, the first half of this chapter was basically just everybody calling the four captains that use their bankais complete idiots.
Yep. And then we find out they actually have a power to communicate.
Yes.
They just didn't bother to use it first.
Well, you know, it involves doing blood seals and that sort of stuff, and everybody ran into people at the same time, so, you know.
Also, we get a quick bit of information. It's not just the Bankai being sealed. They can't talk to their sword at all, so I don't think they can even do their Shikais anymore.
Yeah, which does actually seem much more significant.
Yeah, that's kind of bad. That means these guys are totally helpless now.
Random thing. Doesn't Bleach normally have its, like, logo page in English text?
Usually.
Okay, because on this one's logo page, it says chapter 499 when it's chapter 497.
On mine, it says 497.
Oh. So then it must not have been in this one. Yeah.
Yeah, mine says 497.
Maybe a typesetter messed something up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's in other languages, you know, Japanese. Sometimes it's in Spanish, depending on, you know, during the Arrancar arc.
We get a brief shot of the other captains. Genryusai, Kenpachi, Unohana, and someone I don't recognize.
That's what's-his-face. God, what is his face? it's the guy that trained Ichigo with the knife. Oh,
Shinji.
You didn't read that. No.
Oh, no, Oh,
the
yeah.
Short-haired one. The gray-haired Ichigo.
Not
starts
Rose.
Starts with a K. It's,
There's enough people in Bleach that I don't remember his name, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I like how this
It does seem kind of strange that they would show Kenpachi, given, you know, he doesn't have
Well, he gets the message to not seal the Bankai, and he looks shocked for some reason. As if, like, that were an issue for him.
Maybe that's a sign that he knows now.
Nah. Kensei, that's what that guy's name is. I wanted to say
yes.
Ken, but that didn't sound right.
Yeah.
I do like how this issue basically confirms the problem I've been having with Bleach and Soul Society lately, in that everyone has long blonde hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't really occur to me, but...
Like, almost most of the...
Go ahead.
Most of the Shinigami they've been introducing lately, like the people I'm supposed to care about, all look exactly the same to me.
It's starting to get the Naruto problem of everyone either has black or white hair. You know, there's no kind of shading going on at all for anybody.
I mean, even the hairstyles are similar. They're just, like, draped down hair.
Yeah. That's easy and quick to draw.
Yeah.
I also do think that I need to point out, it's a little weird that Unohana points out that she can't tell that Hitsugaya's Ryatsu was stolen, even though he was the one who called it out. And if you look at him when he's freaking out, his sword still has the design that it has after its release.
Hmm.
So, like, the four-pointed star sort of thing for its guard. So there's going to be something going on there, and it's probably because he's a popular character, but yeah.
Well, they're not
going
to kill him off.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just saying that there's something special going on there for some reason.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting. Yeah. So.
The best part of the manga was just basically Kuretsuchi calling everyone an idiot.
Yes. Just
because they all were.
The walls.
I can't remember that guy's name, the laid-back captain.
Shunsui? What? Something.
Shunsui, maybe?
That sounds right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Go with that.
So he gets shot in the eye.
Shot in the face.
And, like, it doesn't really seem to bother him much.
With a handgun at that. Like, it's not even, like, a magic gun.
And point blank.
Yeah.
And survives somehow.
Yeah.
Like, that bullet just doesn't travel any further.
Yeah, and it is Shinsui, although I normally call him Kyoriku. I don't know. That's what I normally think of him as.
I thought it was that, but I was like, for some reason, my mind was thinking Kyaku.
Well, his name is Shinsui Kyoriku, so.
Meh.
The Quincy that shoots him, though, goes, like, super mode right before he hits him. So, apparently all Quincys can do that. Gets the little halo thing in the wings.
And then
also, I like that the muzzle of the gun flash is the Quincy logo.
So Renji decides, hey, now's probably a good time to use my Bankai. At which point, Byakuya tells him, no, don't. Because
that's stupid.
Yes. Who would do that? What an awful plan.
Renji, your plans are terrible.
Why did you tell me to release my Bankai?
And Renji expresses concern that they can't fight them without Bankai.
A good concern to have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Despite the fact Byakuya was perfectly capable of it before this whole thing.
Well, he was capable of cutting up his hand slightly.
That was further than anyone else has been able to go so far.
So, the end of the chapter was kind of weird, I thought.
When they're sitting in what appears to be a TV news studio?
Well, they're in the research station.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's the research division thing. They've shown that many
times.
Have
they?
Yeah. But, what's-his-face, the guy with the horns that is around a lot.
Yeah.
They contact Ichigo, and that's the end of the chapter.
Well,
or
ordering them to. They haven't actually done it yet.
Yeah.
But they seem to know where he is.
Yeah.
They know he's in Hikamundo in battle.
Well, they track him with the Shinigami badge.
Yeah.
That was established last arc, is that they know where he is at all times.
But I guess it's
protocol. They don't actually establish that they know that he's in Hikamundo. They just said, connect us with him. So I'm assuming he's going to be speaking straight through the badge, and it doesn't matter where he's at.
But they said the captain is on the battlefield.
Yeah, the captain, Kurotsuchi, is the person that they're supposed to be taking, get permission from.
Yeah.
Ichigo's not a captain.
So what are they calling in Ichigo for backup?
Yeah, I think that's the assumption, probably because they saw the entire thing about how his Bankai didn't get stolen.
Did they see that?
If they're watching him. If they're watching him.
Yeah.
Or maybe they know
something.
I thought
Ichigo just killed the dude before he could steal it.
No, he tried to and failed.
Oh.
Because he was surprised that his Bankai was not gone.
Right. Okay, so there's something special about Ichigo.
That I wonder
really?
If they'll ever bother to explain.
So something special about Ichigo? What?
That never happens in any arc.
I know.
Did they even bother to explain what it was about him that was special in the first arc?
Well, his dad's a Shinigami, so...
But they didn't bring that
well,
up until after Soul Society.
That, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's, you know, a punk with, why is Oga special? You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Main character.
But they actually did bother to explain why he had hollow powers.
Yeah.
So for the second arc, they did, just not so much Soul Society. He just happened to be stronger than all the captains.
Yeah, it was just he had extraordinarily strong power.
All right, so where do you think this is going to go from here?
Well, I'm... kind of like the past couple weeks, I'm going to go with pretty much what I said the previous weeks because it's stretching this out so long because it's Bleach.
We make one prediction and it lasts 2 months.
I think they're going to find a way to make this whole captain look even more incompetent.
Well, I think Shunsui's going to die. I mean, he seems ready to put his life on the line fighting this guy.
I was surprised his lieutenant wasn't there.
What's her face?
Nemoi, maybe?
No, you're thinking of Nemu.
Oh.
She has a name, the hot librarian one. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to kill a captain, Shinsui's not a bad one.
Yeah, because they've established him as being pretty extremely strong, because he was the one who fought the number one army car.
Yeah. Well, him and the other guy together, didn't they?
Well, yeah, I guess that's after they split sort of thing, yeah.
But yeah, he is a strong captain. He's not one of the lower tiers.
He is not a pushover.
No.
Except for the fact that every captain in here has been kind of pushovery.
Yeah. They'll inexplicably win a few fights, I bet.
Thin their numbers out a little bit. Because obviously Ichigo's not going to fight a little girl.
No. Well, since we know Hitsugaya is going to be special somehow.
Yeah. I don't know that he's necessarily going to be special or... They just didn't feel like drawing a different sword.
Well, no, but they explicitly... Unohana explicitly says she didn't feel his as having been stolen.
There's a line like, I can tell that 7 and 10 have been stolen, but I can't... Or 7 and, what, 6? But I
can't
tell
there's
the 10.
Three of them, but... Yeah.
I'm kind of annoyed they just don't, like, flat out say, hey, Kenpachi, take care of the rest of this. Because it's, like, the most obvious thing.
I hope we get to see him fight soon.
Yeah. Let's call the guy that has a really powerful Bankai in, as opposed to the guy who's powerful without one.
So
well, I don't necessarily think that they've called anybody in, it's just that that's who they ran into first.
I mean...
You know, it was a weird...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just... I have a little bit of a tangent, so finish your...
I was just thinking it's strange that they're, like, bringing Ichigo in now. before
like, oh,
they
crap, we're getting our ass kicked.
They don't have any real plan yet. It's just, well, I guess let's bring in Ichigo.
Crap, panic button.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they have been monitoring, like Greg said, and they do know that his Bankai didn't get stolen when it was attempted on him.
I feel that's too forward-thinking for Bleach.
No, I think that it's just kind of an assumption, because it was established, like, late in the last arc that, yes, they're, you know, monitoring him and keeping his Ryatsu down and all that sort of stuff. And then they had the conflict in the real world where he was not injured. Like, his wasn't stolen.
Yeah, but they don't know that it was, like, the guy was trying to steal it either.
I don't know. They've got to be calling him for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he explicitly say he was trying to take his?
I don't think he said it out loud.
Yeah, maybe I'm confusing thought bubbles. I was pretty sure that he said something about, you know, egging him on to get his Bankai, and then Ichigo used his Bankai, and then it didn't disappear. So, you know, and the guy was surprised about that.
Like, if they said that, then the entire plan is even stupider.
Yeah. No. That's part of the reason why I was thinking that it was so balls on head retarded.
In any case, it's kind of sad that this, like, legion of thousand-year-old ghosts that have been fighting monsters for eternity is having to call on this 15-year-old that's been doing it for, like, 2 years.
Well, but, I mean, his father's God, so he's God's kid, you know?
He's Jesus. Oh, my God.
In a world where Byakuya leaves it up to Renji, all bets are off.
So the thing I was going to mention was that weird panel this week of the squad mourning that glasses guy that got killed a couple chapters ago. That was really weird and random.
Where was that?
Oh, it's right before the long blonde hair.
Yeah, there's one chapter where there's a bunch of people freaking out.
One panel. He goes, no, Kajimaru senpai. Just, if I hadn't gone back and looked up that guy's name, I would have no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah, I didn't really know who they were talking about, and I didn't care that much. I just assumed that it was one of the people who got cut down.
Yeah. That was that guy that said the Quincy's were just, and then
got
immediately sliced in half. Yeah.
Yeah.
The character nobody cares about.
So do you guys think they're going to turn to Aizen for help? I mean, it's going to get pretty dire from here on out.
There has to be a reason they're keeping him alive, right? Like, otherwise they'd just kill him off. And I can't think of any other solution.
But
I mean,
at this point, would Aizen really be of any use? Because didn't he get like all of his powers like sealed off or burnt out or something like that?
Well, would he still have his release, his sword? Because he could be useful in that sense. Because he had a really strong Bankai. You know, being able to.
Oh, but they could steal it. But no.
I would be okay with an arc that is basically Aizen, Kenpachi, and Ichigo taking out a bunch of Quincy.
Well, it's probably more likely if it is going to be that Aizen, Renji, and Ichigo.
All I want is Kenpachi back in this manga.
Yeah, well, he was there this chapter, so he's not totally forgotten about
it. He was there for a panel.
Hey.
He's still around.
Yeah.
The guy standing in front of the monitors had more dialogue and panels than Kenpachi did.
Well, let's be fair. Does Kenpachi really have all that much dialogue usually?
True, but I mean, it's such a logical choice for this to, like, for that fight to happen and not only be shown, but prominent.
Oh, I'm sure it'll happen.
You missed it last arc, Imran, but Kenpachi's fight was great because he went up against a guy who started, like, monologuing about his power, and Kenpachi just sliced him right in half down the middle immediately.
So you've been playing Ashura's Wrath, so you know how, you get the feeling that I get when Kenpachi sums up. Like, he's the best character in this manga.
Yeah, did you see his, you didn't make it far enough in Huecomundo to see his fight then, did you?
No.
Where he was fighting the guy with six arms?
I've been contemplating going back and doing Bleach, but, like, I read a couple of chapters and I just get bored to tears.
Yeah, I can't really blame you, but anyway, this is a guy who had beaten both Ichigo and Grimmjow?
Well, Grimmjow was already pretty beat up.
Yeah.
Had he fought Nell at that point?
Yes, he had. That was after that we was get to see one. It, like, adult Nell.
Because he just, like, ganks Grimmjow. Like, there's no fight there.
But then anyway, so then, you know, Kenpachi shows up and they start fighting and it's even and Kenpachi's freaking out. And then his power up is to use both hands on his sword, like to use actual like Kenpo form. So then his swings are that much stronger.
Yeah, he fights seriously and then he's stronger.
And yet they won't give him an obvious fight here. Oh, wow.
Hey, that fight against, I think it's Noitora is the name of the guy, is the longest fight in Bleach's history. So, like, in terms of chapters, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think Kubo's very good at choreographing fights.
I think that he's good at choreographing fights for anime, which does not work very well in manga because he draws out every single panel in Strike.
Right. Like, you look at the Yoroichi Suifong fight. And that worked much better in the anime than it did in the manga because it was like two ninjas circling each other. And
well, the problem with the manga is that you get like a panel of the foot stepping down, a panel of the foot turning, a panel of the foot turning more, a panel of the foot jumping off the ground. Like, he's seriously just storyboarding every movement.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Which just doesn't work as well.
All right. So we'll move on from Bleach on to Beelzebub. And we have about 2 weeks of this to discuss.
Yeah, so starting with chapter 160, which had the color cover.
This worked out well because it's the start of an arc, so
yeah.
Not a bad place to get stuck talking about two chapters.
Yeah, which was kind of a little weird at the very beginning because it almost was going through an intro as if it was introducing the series to new people again. So I don't know whether that's a commentary in that it was in the first, you know, since it was the front of the magazine at the start of a new arc and it had been... Beals doesn't do that good in the rankings, so it's usually towards the, you know, I don't know, middle to latter half of the magazine.
Well, maybe they were asked just to, like, bring new... Maybe they got comments about it. Like, I don't know what's going on in this manga, so...
It's a good time for it, too, when there's a new arc.
Yeah.
And this seems like it's going to be a significant arc. It's not just going to be a small thing.
I actually did like how they lampshaded the explanation where Oga runs into thugs and just starts narrating what's his backstory.
Yep,
yeah.
And then punches people into walls, because that's what happens.
Yes, 52 yen punch.
So he gets a video from King N, Beel's
the demon lord.
Yeah. And the video basically asks him to retrieve something. Did they actually say what it was?
No, just a certain thing, I think is what they call it.
So I assume they know, but we don't know.
Also, you're forgetting the main part about the video, is that the entire video is just the Demon King's crotch.
Oh, yeah.
Because it starts on his crotch, and then he's embarrassed, but he's too embarrassed to show his face, so they keep it on his crotch.
I feel like we've seen his face before.
No, that we've seen like a profile, or like the back of his head or something.
Well, he's always wearing a big mask thing, helmet.
For some reason, I feel like I remember an image of him laughing or something, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, he's dancing in the background of a lot of the Beelzebub endings. Like the Papa Pee Poo Poo one.
Ah.
But... Maybe that's just an anime thing, because I don't remember seeing his face in the manga.
They've shown, not explicitly. Like, we get a good solid look at it here at the start of this chapter.
Yeah. He's basically Dr. Claw, right?
Sure.
I wonder if it's
same
like...
In that we, you know, see lots of him, but not the actual... I mean, I guess we see, like, his mouth, but yeah.
He's probably not really going to look as stupid as Dr. Claw did, though.
Yeah.
And that was childhood crushing.
I wonder if like, this like intergalactic king thing wearing like boxer briefs is like a Japanese thing. Because this isn't the first time I've seen this. It's where another manga did it, and I know Katamari did it. Like that big bulge, I guess.
It shows that he's powerful.
I guess. I just wonder if it's like some sort of Momotaro thing that carried over. Like most things in manga.
It's entirely possible.
So they get the mission to infiltrate a school that all of Japan's biggest political leaders send their kids to. It takes millions of dollars to...
like even get an admittance thing.
It takes millions of dollars to get are on the grounds and even more to enroll.
And they can totally sneak in with fake uniforms. Totally. No problem.
I did like that they just got immediately caught.
Well, because they don't have their ID badges sewn into their uniforms. Which seems like they should have known if they just, like, looked for a few minutes.
Well, Alain Dayan made him, so...
Yeah.
You can blame him. Also, great to see him again. It's been a while.
Well, that's probably how they got there.
That's true.
Which makes you wonder, if they got there through him, why couldn't he get them inside the walls?
Because maybe there's a demon barrier around it.
I do enjoy that Furuichi seemingly has come along for no other reason than besides Hilda is in the schoolgirl uniform.
That's a pretty good reason.
Like, otherwise, I think he would refuse, because they don't show him trying to convince him of, or anything.
He's also Oga's right-hand man. He has to be there.
But speaking of right-hand man, when they get tossed out, they go to Himikawa for help.
Yes, their minister of finance.
Oh, and they also show him a picture of what they're trying to find, and gets a elicits a reaction from him.
Right.
So.
Now, Himikawa's big... His only... what's the word I'm looking for? Reason to join them is if Oga becomes his subordinate.
Yes. His underling.
Yeah. So Oga agrees, and they get on their way to the school.
And then we see a mysterious man watching them.
Well, you say man, but at the time...
Yeah.
Very much looked like a mysterious girl.
Yes, a mysterious person is watching them arrive.
Right. Because Himikawa has paved the way for Furuichi, Hilda, and Oga. And that was that chapter.
So do we fake speculate, or do we just go right on to the next one?
I think we can just go right on.
So the next chapter, they're introducing themselves, and it's pretty obvious that everyone realizes they're thugs and delinquents.
I enjoyed Furuichi's, he's actually trying to give an introduction about himself, and everyone else is just saying their names.
I think Furuichi thinks that he belongs here.
This is totally the school that he would have gone to if he hadn't become friends with Oga, right?
Do you think he just blames that for, every misgiving in his life?
Pretty much.
If only I hadn't followed Oga there, I would be a doctor.
Ishiyama
does
not seem
like... Well, that's
been
pretty well established, doesn't it?
It doesn't seem like Ishiyama has always meshed with him, but I don't think that he's necessarily destined for great things otherwise. So they get in, and all these students are pretty much ignoring them. And eventually, they find a French cuisine vending machine.
Which
just to cut
amazing.
Back real quick, part of the I know it's a translator note, so it's not like we can pick up on it ourselves. But stuff like this just amuses me, where it says the kanji used in Himikawa's "nice to meet you" is a common delinquent-esque way of spelling out the world, since it could also be read as "quote unquote" a painful death on a night road.
I talked to two Japanese speakers. I was showing them that translator note, and both of them said the exact same thing. They said Japanese with an exclamation mark.
Because that is a really, really weird, two different ways to take the same thing.
Well, it comes up later, too, where father sounds the same as bankrupt.
Yeah, he does like his puns. There's another manga recently I was reading that had a lot of puns. I can't remember what it was. Kenpachi, maybe? Or not Kenpachi, Kenichi.
Kenichi? Yeah. Maybe. It does that from time to time.
Yeah.
Or were you, vending machine?
French
is the vending, vending machines.
That has wine bottles and things.
Well, there's mini vending machines, some with wine, some with books or something.
I'm surprised that they didn't have the vending machine, just because this is the rich place.
But that's such a great gag, though, that he presses the button and then waiters come out of doors next to it and cook him the meal.
And it's so good.
it literally drives him to tears.
And then, this art school's version of delinquent shows up and bullies him.
Like, they slam his face into the food.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
but it's Furuichi.
They also seem to know Himikawa.
Yeah.
And, well, he's rich, so obviously he knows these people.
Well, it seems like he's coming back to this school, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or not necessarily coming back to this school, but, was with these kids before going to high school or something like that.
Yeah, he could have been in, the rich kids' middle school and then gone to Ishiyama instead of to this place.
So they realize
they probably have... His middle school probably had, a hair dress code, so he couldn't have his pompadour.
I think he'd rather be the king of the delinquents than just another person in a rich school.
And
he seems like the type.
Oga's basically ready to kill them after they slam Furuichi's face in.
He's a leashed dog, though.
Yeah.
Himikawa's not letting him do anything.
Well, he was going to do it. He dodged the knife slash by that one guy.
I don't know if we've gotten names of these guys, have we?
Yeah, they're just the three.
They're lackeys.
Idiots. Yeah, they won't be important ever.
The only name we've gotten so far is Kogiyama, which is the delinquents tell Himekawa that he has to go meet with him.
Yes, and they take him to an underground fight club.
Which is actually not surprising, because in the video game Bully, they had the same plot point.
Yeah, but this is a fine arts academy. They have a fight club underneath it.
So they're bringing them down there, and the reason Himekawa says not to go ahead and punch them is because there are certain rules, and Oga's going to get what he wants anyway. He'll get a chance to fight them, they just need to wait for the right opportunity.
Well, there's also the freaky thing of, like, if you hit them, they will use their connections to, like, bankrupt your dad's company.
Yeah. Which makes it seem like Himekawa's dad, like, despite the unlimited amount of money he has, is not necessarily at the top of the industry.
The food chain.
Yeah.
Himekawa's kind of treated like crap by these guys.
Like, even though they're delinquent as well.
Or at least as an equal. Like, they don't think of him as rich or anything. He's just normal.
Which brings us to the best joke of Furuichi finding food on his face and eating it.
It's still delicious.
Yes, just being in love with it.
I hope this keeps up and he just keeps sneaking back to the vending machines to eat.
Well, he's like trading all his dignity for this food. So yeah, they find the underground fight club where they apparently make vagrants fight each other.
And like, well, it sounds like professional MMA fighters and stuff.
And junkies.
Yes.
And gambling.
Yeah.
Just whoever.
So then they introduce Mr. Kogiyama, which is the girl we thought we saw last week.
Yes, which is a guy.
Yeah.
Always check the neck.
No, this is Beals. I'm going with both.
Adam's apple. Always check the neck.
Well, they do explicitly say Mr. Kogiyama.
But that could just be, you know, could just be Kugiyama-san or...
Well, his hair and his face do not look unlike Himekawa's.
No, especially when Himekawa has his hair down.
Yeah.
Maybe he's an assassin who wants to be treated seriously, so she is pretending to be a guy.
Adam's apple.
I'm going to go with half-brother.
You think? They do look really... I did think that they looked really similar.
And, I mean, that's why his... Why else would he be interested in Himekawa?
Yeah, like a stepbrother.
Because it's
or
actually
something.
A girl and they used to date in middle school.
Sure, whatever.
But nah, I'm going with guy. Doesn't necessarily have to be half-brother related or anything like that, or maybe just a former best friend, or there's something having to do with their history, which is why he chose to go to Ishiyama instead of coming to this school, or something like that.
You think this is Himekawa's Furuichi?
That's what I was thinking, too. That would be great.
Or that he is Kugayama's Furuichi? I imagine Kugayama's got to be a fighter, right?
Probably.
Just being a battle manga.
One would assume.
But I'm not guessing
then
demon
again,
fighter.
He has bodyguards, and if he's a fighter, why would he need bodyguards?
Well, he's rich.
I think the strange thing is how they bother to reintroduce Behemoth and then... not bring them into this arc.
He could still be involved somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe
he
ends down here watching the fighting.
I was thinking maybe they're going to do a Yu Hakusho and bring in demons to fight.
Well, what do you guys think the Demon King's after?
It's going to be something completely stupid.
Is it going to be like the ultimate pair of like boxers or underwear?
That's not outside the realm of possibility.
Some guy's comb. It's like 29 cents in the street.
I get the feeling that the Demon King's dumb act is an act.
I don't know. I mean, thus far, it seems like the smartest person in the demon world is Beal. And he's a baby. Because Enzo's
what has he done that's actually done that's particularly smart?
Exactly. That's the point. It seems everyone in that family line is kind of stupid.
But I'm saying, like, it's not like Behemoth has been stupid.
I don't know. He did just dress up as, like, an asparagus guy and go fight children.
Yes, and Beal, who you're praising as being smart, thought it was real.
No, I'm saying I'm more diminishing everybody else. and the King are both... They've not done nothing but stupid things. While Beal is just a baby.
Who was the other guy who replaced who was Behemoth's successor?
Jabberwocky.
Jabberwocky, yeah. Like, I mean, it's not like he was stupid, you know?
But he's not in the family line.
Oh, you're saying this specific... I thought you were saying in the demon world altogether something like that.
I just mean and his father.
Okay.
Because it does seem like all of them are stupid. But Beale's being raised by Oga, so... He's got...
And it's not... Well, Oga's not particularly smart either.
Yeah.
He's just kind of oblivious.
So it doesn't really make that much of a difference. But I mean, like, it does seem like the king is sort of a joke character.
For the time being.
Yeah, for now, until...
Until they have to make him a villain.
Yeah.
Which I assume is going to be not far away.
I'm thinking the thing they're looking for has to be a person. I don't think it's going to be an object. There's got to be something more going on here.
Well, I mean, it would be something Himikawa recognizes.
Yeah.
Well, it has to be something that they would know would be in this place, right? Or did he specifically say that it was in this place?
Yeah, it's somewhere within the grounds of the school.
Okay.
And as soon as Himikawa saw it, he said, like, where did you get this information? So, it's something not everyone would know about.
But we'll see. I mean, they haven't made any attempts to actually get it yet, so...
No, that makes me think it's going to be something stupid.
Yeah. I mean, it's Beals. They're not going to make it some world-ending thing.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to be disappointed when it's something stupid.
Yeah. It just, we know
but
it's going to
be
something
stupid.
All right, so any predictions beyond that?
That's Beal. I'm not going to try.
Yeah, I think we kind of need to have a moratorium on Beal's predictions for the most part.
I'm just hoping that, I mean, it's been a long time since they've done plot development, but it's still really good.
I do have a prediction. They're going to make Oga fight to, like, get in with the gang to, like, prove themselves. That seems like something they'd do.
It would be interesting if Oga fought someone and lost.
That would actually be pretty cool. Kind of the, just get a smackdown and, like, reassess the strength stuff.
Then whenever he actually tried to, they got the thing and needed to leave, he wouldn't want to. Yeah, so that's Beals. From now on, it should be on time, hopefully.
From the sounds of things, it was late last week because of the cleaning up of the color pages.
Ah. Alright, so let's move on to Barrage.
Sensei
Which,
no Barrage.
Two more weeks until we get to find out how this one's been doing in the rankings.
Yes.
Hopefully well, because I'm enjoying it so far. It's very standard, but...
I saw a lot of people say they're getting bored by it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not, but I can see where they're coming from.
Yeah, I can agree with that assessment. I am personally not getting bored with it, but it is very generic at this point.
It's very standard. I mean, it's not doing anything Shonen does not usually do.
Well, it hasn't had that moment that's, like, grabbed me yet. Like, I'm kind of enjoying it, but...
I mean, we were talking last week about when One Piece actually grabbed us, and we were talking, like, 50 chapters
way down
in.
The line, yeah.
I'm going to give it a nice long chance, but there are people that are bailing already.
Yeah, it's kind of like, how to put it? It feels like Naruto did before the fight against Haku.
Basically before shit got real.
Yeah. So... It's still in the moment, and I mean, this is my first time following something from the very beginning, versus being recommended something down the line when other people have established that it does become good, which I think changes how you have to approach these things. And I think that it's trying to establish the characters and get some sort of emotional investment so that it's possible to have the more interesting stuff happen down the line.
They're still knocking it out of the park with the enemy designs, though.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
This week we get a good look at the bad guy, Deadrock, and just amazing.
I will say, they need to get somebody else to make the names for things.
I thought Deadrock was an awesome name.
It's still just kind of sounds too blatant. I don't know, kind of like how the industrial city and all like those sort of things are. No, it's Industria.
You think it's a little too by the books?
Yeah.
So
the Deadrock pun doesn't do much for you.
I'm not sure how the plan here worked.
Well, they they disguise themselves as the girls, and the girls disguise themselves as them.
Right, but I mean, there's a couple of panels where it's clearly them, or are they just not drawing the hood for some reason?
Well, if you go back and look, no, every time it's showing their faces, it's like
it's
whited out
flashback.
Around.
Oh, that's a flashback.
And the ones where they actually are talking to each other, you don't see anything besides their actual face. Like, it's all white or black around them.
So, otherwise, that's actually a pretty awesome plan, and the panel where they reveal it is surprisingly well done.
Yeah, I actually wasn't expecting that. I was expecting the ropes to just not be tied or something. But to get the jump on them that way works, I guess.
Is this, like, plot point supposed to be a reverse Oolong sort of thing?
What do you mean?
That he's bringing all the strong males and making the women work for him?
Instead of collecting the women, he's collecting the men?
Yes. And instead of coming, like, they're dressing up as women to come or rescue them.
I suppose. It might be a point of inspiration. So, what is Deadrock's plan exactly? He's digging for something?
It sounded like he was trying to raise an army so that he could get in and to get the org, right? That's what his end goal was he wanted to get the org.
It's just an army. There's no... I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, he was looking for the strongest people. That's why he was impressed by them fighting so that he could have...
Yeah. One thing I'm not clear on yet is if there's more than one org. Like, there'd have to be, right?
It seems like everyone has different orgs, but Industrious is probably the strongest.
Then again, people do call it the org. Like, the one.
I think for now it's going to be the only one, but sometime down the line it's going to be revealed that there are other equivalent similar things.
They probably have different names, too.
I would think, like, every royalty probably has their one weapon or something. It'd have to work that way.
And there will be something unique about each one, so they'll be kind of like, I don't know, the different types of rings in the Green Lantern.
The Justice one, and this one the person rules by fear, and this one the person rules by this and that.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, I could see it going in that direction.
In any case, basically this chapter, they just fight Deadrock and blow off his hand.
Well, they establish that anything
trained...
the org touches basically kills.
Yeah, it's an unstoppable force or something. But Deadrock just detaches his hand and then shoves it into the rock and pulls out a new one, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, basically they've already met an opponent that the org does not immediately defeat.
Yeah, because he can seemingly shed his body and make new one out of the rocks around him.
And as Deadrock is attempting to take out Astro and steal the org for himself, Tiamat takes the hit for him.
Yeah, which I'm sure...
Which I think is when we're just going to establish how tough Tiamat actually is.
Yeah, is it going to come back next week and he's just going to be like holding the fist with one hand and toss it off to the side or something?
I can see him... taking the hit and being incapacitated and then revealing that he was conscious the entire time.
And, like, was leaving it up to Astro to teach him.
Yeah.
Because they say something about learning through fighting, right?
Yeah, that was basically the conceit of this entire chapter, is that Tiamat had no choice but to teach him now how to fight.
Yeah. I could see that happening, where Tiamat just lets him take out Deadrock by himself, just so that he gets the experience fighting.
I thought they established at one point that Astro was a pretty good fighter.
Well... they did in this chapter, just because of all the odd jobs he's taken. He's
that
developed
he's...
fighting skills.
But I mean, early on, that like they showed him, I think, fighting the guards at the front of the alien guy?
Yeah. I don't think he fought before he got the org.
He has good improvisational skills.
Huh. But yeah, basically he's more or less alone unless Tiamat manages to shrug this off. But I can see how people would complain about this as standard. But it's still very interesting to me still.
It is better quality than usual, but not good enough for...
But I think we're comparing it to Naruto Year One.
Oh,
like One Piece.
Yeah, no, but like... It's still early. Like I said, I mean, this is the fifth chapter.
I mean, that's one of the bad things about manga, is that things get... acts before they even have a chance to get going a lot of the time.
But I think they're going to commit to this for as long as possible.
Well, I think they're already committed to so many chapters. Viz doesn't really jump on anything that just gets immediately canceled.
Yeah, I think they're going to need to get at least 20 chapters in, and then things will probably start going further.
I mean, realistically...
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily This could be an experimentation thing, like I said last week, where Viz is going to be feeling things out on this side of the pond at the same time, so it's a joint venture, so to speak. I don't know if you're absolutely right about that. I don't think it's Viz going, oh, you have to do X number of chapters so that we'll sign this on. I think that it'll...
Well, I think Jump knows that they have a certain number of chapters that they're going to have to do anyway, just because they're trying to spread this out internationally.
Yeah, don't they normally do, I guess, like, the shortest that anything will go is half a year, so it'll do 26?
I feel like
25 or something like that.
I've seen stuff get canceled way before that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they might have to break contract to do that or something.
And that's probably just, the catastrophically bad stuff.
Yeah, the ones that I can think of were catastrophically bad, like Kanadoki. Oh, man.
Which one is that?
That is a romance manga about a kid that falls in love with an adult that's like a drifter lady that lives with him.
What?
That sounds
catastrophically bad.
All right, so moving on. Do we have anything more to say about Barrage? Or?
Oh, just, I guess, as far as predictions
I think that this fight's going to finish next chapter.
Yeah, I think we nailed it with the
prediction. Still be another short arc.
I'm glad, they get a lot of action in this chapter.
Yeah.
He moves at a brisk pace.
I love the moment of the reveal of, you know, them not being the ones tied up, and if, you know, he can keep up that kind of, you know, that kind of came
that
out of
sequence.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like kind of a fist pumping, like, yeah, moment.
That's kind of what, like, I used to watch Shonen anime for, those sort of things.
Yeah. Just like the flip of, like, no, we're totally in charge of the situation, and we're going to fight you.
Which, like, when we're talking about when we get into manga, that was what got me into Naruto, when he did that plan with throwing the shuriken at Zabuza.
Oh, and he was the shuriken?
Yeah.
Yeah, I specifically remember that scene as being the kind of, oh, that just broke my brain, and that was awesome.
Granted, they spent like the next episode and a half explaining it, but still.
And showing it. Yeah. I distinctly remember half of the next episode being...
Yeah, I remember that entire sequence being a fantastic moment. I have to say that the first one that made me go, all right, I can watch this, was actually in the first episode when, you know, the two of them were both pretending to be other people to try and trick them, sort of thing. Like when Erika was pretending to be Naruto and, God, what's the guy's name, was pretending to be Erika.
Mizuki?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good moment, too.
Yeah, so that one really early on was basically, all right, I can watch this, and then you had to deal with school and that sort of stuff to see it actually get going. But then, of course, the moment that sealed the deal was the first time that the seal started breaking when Naruto was fighting. But
yeah, hey, that's a good transition.
Yeah, so speaking of Naruto, yeah. I really like this chapter, like, a lot. It finally gave closure to the... years-long storyline of Itachi.
This week's chapter brought to you by Celine Dion.
Was it Whitney Houston?
Oh, was it Whitney? Yeah, yeah, Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Both are dead, but only one's just dead inside. All right, so...
So the Edo Tensei is taking away the other tailed guys, of course, but it also seems to be taking away Madara, mm-hmm. finally.
But not quickly enough, it seems.
He's just going to keep fighting right up until...
Yeah. I could see him taking out a Hokage.
Would you expect him to do anything else?
And yeah,
Looking at Itachi, it takes a while.
Maybe that's one of those things of, like, if the will of the person is strong enough, they can hold it off for a little while. And Madara's probably going to have such strong will that he can keep it going as long as possible.
I like how Madara...
Yeah, it's the sort of thing where, like, all right, and it looks like the timer's started, so I have to stop messing around.
Well, I like how Tobi is sort of shocked that Kabuto failed. He knows how this worked. All he had to do was like three hand seals.
He knows who Kabuto is.
He's failed literally everybody else. This was not going to be the one time that he succeeds.
How's Kabuto working out for you, Orochimaru? Oh, wait, that's right.
What about you, Danzo?
Oh. What about you, Sasori?
Should have been Big Nose Kabuto.
Maybe that's who he wanted. So this whole
he was reading up on the fabricated story, and so that's why he thought that he was this awesome ninja.
This whole chapter is basically the third time we've gotten the truth behind the Itachi mask, the Uchiha.
Yeah. But to be fair, this one was basically showing much of the same stuff, just from another perspective.
Right.
Right, but we got several revelations in it.
Basically, we now know the truth. Now that a villain is not directly telling it. It's what Itachi saw.
First of all, we see Shisui give Itachi his eye.
Which looks painful.
Okay, also, did you guys totally think he's Tobi? I mean, just going by... This is the first time we've seen Shisui.
Yeah.
He's totally got the same hair that that Tobi does.
Because nobody else in the Naruto universe has that style of hair.
I know, but still.
I feel like that they left him with no eye specifically to say, yo, this guy isn't Tobi.
Well, and the one that Danzo stole is the one that Tobi would have had.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, since Itachi got a new eye, he's got one to spare.
Which I thought Itachi took both his eyes.
Well, no, because Danzo did have one.
Right, but they established that later. When Itachi first started talking about it, didn't he take both of them?
Maybe that's what people thought. I mean, all of this is, you know, fake cover stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, he let people find that body on purpose. Because he was, what, like, under a... The body was, what, under a bridge?
Something like that, yeah.
So the thing that, like, confused me is... This is something they've never talked about, and I'm pretty sure Kishimoto has forgotten. But back when they first had the flashback to when the Uchiha clan was slaughtered, Itachi looked at Sasuke and he said, "If you want to know the truth, look at the Uchiha shrine and find the scroll underneath our altar." And they show Sasuke finding it, but they never say what's in it or what it's about.
It's the secret of the Mangekyo Sharingan.
But why did he tell him that?
Because he wanted Sasuke to hate him so that he would be raised up by the village as a hero when he hunted him down and killed him, sort of thing. So by telling him that, he would think that the reason that he went through this entire thing was to, you know, get the Mangekyo Sharingan.
Yeah.
What?
He wanted to ensure that Sasuke ends up powerful.
I didn't take it as that necessarily, just that the entire thing of so he killed his best friend to gain this power, so he's telling Sasuke how to find out about that so he knows why he killed his best friend, and then everybody else was kind of like testing out the new powers or something like that was what the logic was.
Did he not count on this like really messing up a 5-year-old?
Well, that was the sacrifice he was willing to make to protect that 5-year-old.
I feel like every mentor in Naruto is pretty terrible.
Well, it was a bad situation.
Well, I mean, like, Asuma pawned off a baby onto Shikamaru. Naruto's dad put in a monster that his wife was carrying.
Yeah, into his son.
Like, Jiraiya is the only one that's kind of done anything, and, like, we both know he was kind of a terrible teacher anyway.
Yeah. Kakashi's done all right.
Kakashi's been very laissez-faire about everything anyway. And it, like, there was a whole thing where he was concentrating on Sasuke and ignoring Naruto.
Yeah.
Tsunade, maybe? That might be the one option.
Although she was focusing on Sakura and kind of ignoring her current underling. There was an entire subtext about that that got completely dropped shortly after the time skip.
Then, let's see.
Then Danzo and Itachi talk, and... You know, force Itachi into killing the Uchihas in exchange for Sasuke.
This is the first 100% confirmation we've gotten that the Uchiha were having a coup d'etat.
Civil war thing?
Yeah.
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 Yes. This is confirmation of that. We've heard kind of hearsay.
We've
about
heard
it.
That from other people, but
from
they were
Danzo.
Not necessarily trustworthy sources.
If you want to take Danzo at his word, we've heard about it before.
Right.
But...
And Sandaime does not want to kill them. He just
wants to make
peace because. A big civil war is not going to help anybody.
So Danzo agrees that a big civil war is not going to help anybody, so...
He convinces Itachi to kill them all.
Yes, murder them in their sleep. Except Sasuke, you can have him, we don't care.
Him making that deal is strange. It feels like one of those things that they made because they can't, like, go back and change it.
Right, like... Trying to work in some kind of actual human logic into this horrible thing.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, then even beyond that, the entire... Well, okay, if he makes that deal, then Itachi can't be in the village, and what's to stop Danzo from killing Sasuke at some point, you know?
Because he gave him his word.
And make it look like an accident.
Good old trustable Danzo.
Yeah.
So, following that, though, is the biggest revelation of the flashback, is that Itachi meets up with Tobi... And enlists his help in wiping out the Uchihas.
Well, didn't Tobi say this?
I'm not sure if we've ever had.
I'm sure we've heard this before, was that Itachi had said that he couldn't have done it all by himself or something like that, but that there was a previous mention of Tobi helping out Itachi in wiping out the
Is this the first that Sasuke's hearing about it, though?
Yes.
Because this gives Sasuke and Naruto a common foe.
Yes, it does.
Yes. That's what I think the biggest thing to come out of this chapter is.
Not that he'll get over the craziness anytime soon.
Well, he could. This might be settling all the crazy in him.
Hopefully. But we get the first look into the probably most replayed scene in Naruto, Itachi stalking in on his parents.
Who were totally cool with being killed.
Yeah. I mean, if you knew this was going to happen, you probably should have backed away from the coup.
This happens a lot in anime, of just like, oh, you're here to kill me. All right.
Okay, yeah.
Fine.
Just do it quickly, you know, try not to be too painful.
And they were proud of him.
Take care of our son after he finds you decapitating us.
Which, they don't know his deal. Like, did Itachi mention that, like, he was leaving Sasuke alive?
Well, you know, I think that the assumption is people who weren't involved in the coup probably wouldn't get killed.
I wonder if they're such terrible parents that what they meant by take care of Sasuke. don't leave him an orphan. Take care of Sasuke.
You truly are a gentle child while you're stabbing us.
Don't let him go crazy. Whoops.
Too late.
Don't let Sasuke horribly misunderstand this and set out on a life of being insane.
And then a deathbed confession that Itachi realizes maybe he should have let everyone talk it out.
Yeah.
Because talking never works.
I realize on my deathbed that genocide may have not been the answer.
Feminicide.
It ends with a really nice scene of, you know, Itachi saying he'll always be his brother and he'll always love him.
And almost making out.
Yes, very close to making out, but not quite.
So how does Sandaime not put two and two together?
So we were just talking about the Uchihas, and then Itachi, who was right there, goes and wipes them all out, and Danzo is super happy about it.
Whose one suggestion was maybe we should take the fight to them first.
Well, Sandaime never really liked Danzo, and he probably always knew that he was behind it somehow. But, you know, political standings, he couldn't do anything about it.
I mean, he was the Hokage, and he let the Uchiha genocide.
That has apparently become a lot less important since it was established that there was a council.
The Hokage's actual power within the village has diminished quite a bit since the start of the series.
It just seems sort of strange that they kind of let this go immediately. It's more one of those things that, like, I think they wrote Itachi's backstory before they figured it out. Like, they left all the details vague and then went back to try and make it something that made sense.
Well, I'm sure, like, when he was writing the first massacre, he wasn't like, okay, and then Danzo tells Itachi to go do this, and then Itachi goes and meets up with Tobi. And
I think Itachi was, at the beginning, probably up until or through the time skip, a villain.
No, I think it was always that there was some ulterior motive, but he just didn't know what, and he was going
to
come up with it.
Yeah, because if he was an actual honest-to-God villain, then when they had the one thing where it was him and Naruto and Sasuke, and they all, you know, had the conflict in Konoha, I think that something more would have happened there.
If I recall, like, in the Konoha, it was Guy that stopped him. And when they had
Guy fight Kisame?
Yeah, Guy and Kakashi, and Kakashi got trapped inside of the Mangekyo Sharingan thing.
And then Guy had
and that was
plan.
When he got, like, a year of torture or something that in the space of a couple seconds.
Years of torture.
Yeah.
Tsukiyomi, no, something, something.
Yeah, I think he was a genuine villain back then.
You think? Yeah.
But
I don't think they wrote it out until probably after the time skip.
Yeah, well, he didn't really show up until after the time skip. That was his only appearance.
No, because then they fought again when Kisame and Itachi were trying to capture Naruto. Remember they got Jiraiya drunk?
That was that time.
No, that was a different time.
No, you're right. That was that was on.
Because that's when Sasuke showed up and then Itachi broke Sasuke's arm.
That's when Naruto left to find the Toad Hermit.
Yeah.
And Sasuke came after
him. No, they left to find Tsunade, didn't they?
Tsunade, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember that. And then like, yeah, Itachi slamming him into a wall. Yeah. I remember that scene.
So, and Sasuke went to the hospital, and then they had the big fight on top of the roof.
Right, yeah. And then Jiraiya attacks, and he escapes with the fire.
Right.
But yeah, I guess the fact that, you know, there was the opportunity there to do a whole lot more damage, and they kind of didn't do it, makes it seem like maybe he had an idea that he wanted to have an ulterior motive just because he wanted them all to stick around longer or something like that, but I still think that they were generally villains.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, he's actually been a good guy this entire time, just, you know, playing the extremely long game behind the scenes.
I think, like, Sasuke killing Itachi was always going to be Kishimoto's long game for this. That was the only way that that story was going to move on. And then he had to try and figure out a way, maybe Itachi's really popular? That could be it?
Maybe too many people.
I like him better than Sasuke.
I mean, great, yeah, the past couple of chapters, Itachi has been a much better character than Sasuke.
Well, this is the first time we've seen him not just be blasé, you know, quiet dude.
Yeah. This is not like him holding his cards close to his chest.
This is Itachi being Itachi, not hiding anything and just trying to stop Kuto. I really enjoyed the Itachi stuff. And I hope Sasuke is not super crazy.
He's going to be, because you know that fight has to happen.
I don't want all his stuff to be in vain. That would just be so crappy if he just brushes it all off. And
what I'm worried about now is that, of course, they're going to do the Naruto-Sasuke fight. They have to. But if they're going to do
I'm still thinking that comes after they defeat Tobi.
That's the thing. I don't want it to happen like, hey, Naruto, should we test our strength against each other? That would be the easiest cop-out.
Okay, what if they kill Tobi, Naruto invites him back to the village, Sasuke says he can never go back to the village, and then there's another time skip, and Sasuke's the villain in the future?
I don't know. That's stretching a little far.
Something like that.
The worst that I could see, or like the only real way I could see them going in that direction would be if, okay, Sasuke refuses to come back to the village, Naruto fights him again to try and drag him back and wins this time.
I could possibly see that.
Yeah, but, I can't go back, well, I'm going to drag you back kind of thing.
I mean, also the village kind of has to accept that he was part of an organization that killed Asuma.
Yeah, but if he helps kill Tobi, you know, that looks pretty good on his record.
They don't know what happened here.
You know,
you did kill a lot of our guys, but then you kind of stopped the devil, so.
You killed Danzo when he was technically in charge of the village, but he was kind of a jerk, so we're just going to overlook that.
We all hated Danzo anyway, so good riddance. Asshole owed me money.
Well, they're going to get, I'm sure Hokage Naruto will build an Itachi statue.
Or Hokage Kakashi.
He was Hokage for all of 5 minutes. Does that get ahead of the mountain?
I think he was temporary enough that it doesn't actually count.
Even like temporary presidents get paintings. Itachi.
We had temporary presidents.
Who was the shortest president?
Well, I mean, it's not something that's actually happened. It's just, you know, one of the rules is if, say, the president resigns for a little while.
Well, no, wasn't there somebody who was only a president for like 48 hours or something like that?
No, William Henry Harrison was only 30 days.
Well, they didn't probably have time for a painting.
Idiot. Jesus.
Just like the Soul Reapers.
Teddy Roosevelt gives a speech while getting shot. Harrison gives a speech when it's cold and he dies from it.
All right. So thank God we don't have One Piece this week, because this has been a long podcast already.
Well, we had two Beelzebub, so that made up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of rushed through the first one.
Nothing's on break next week that we care about. So.
Yep.
Yay.
Yay, One Piece is back.
Thank God.
I'm genuinely surprised Naruto was actually good this week, because usually when he takes a break, the following week kind of sucks.
I can't wait for next week. I mean, I really hope.
I'm thinking that next week's going to be finishing out the Madara fight.
Yeah. They specifically said 3 fights that changed the world, and there's nowhere this fight can go anywhere anymore.
One thing we skipped over that I really liked in this chapter was at the very start, when Naruto jumps down and yells to Tobi, "Don't turn away, your opponent's right here." You know, that's a pretty cool moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's with Kakashi and Gai, who have apparently been there the entire time.
It's a cool fight they want to watch.
And Naruto's no longer in Sage mode. Not even Sage. What's the special mode? He's
Yubi mode. I don't think it has a name.
Yeah. He's got a lot of transformations this past couple of years.
Yeah. I think we've talked about that.
Yeah.
That he just bounced through them.
Just call it Super Saiyan mode and go with that.
Yeah, it's Super Saiyan. Let's not split hairs.
All right, so okay. that's over with.
Hey.
Right. So that's it.
Speaking
for this
of Super Saiyan, DBZ abridged. No.
I need to catch up on that.
They're at the next finale right now.
So episode 30, parts 1 and 2 are out right now.
I don't think I've watched since the Saiyan saga.
You've got some
gold.
it's really good. They've started editing it a lot more, and they've worked on their own subplots and stuff. It's amazing. Everyone who hasn't should watch DBZ Abridged.
Yeah.
Even if you haven't watched Dragon Ball, it's still genuinely funny.
Yeah, I've shown it to people who haven't actually watched Dragon Ball, and they think it's hilarious. So, all right, so this has been your Thursday, June 24th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Every step up. Loading. And bittersweet memories.